Hello, everyone. Dan Dillman here, bringing you a little of this, a little of that. Well, this summer, with popular vacation sites filled, some people are seeking different options. You know, the quirky, the weird, the unusual. And so our first item today is about unusual tourism. Because thousands of unusual attractions are finding their way onto summer vacation itineraries, with the most popular places filled to capacity or even closed, travelers are turning to alternatives that include quirky museums, rock carvings, and even street art. There are a lot of lesser-known monuments scattered across the country that check the boxes of different, unusual, and underrated. This according to Xander Boutou, who's manager at the booking site Vacation Renter. He's been tracking the trend since earlier this year when his customers began making reservations for summer vacation rentals. Some of them in off-the-beaten-path places. And he wondered, what's there? Actually, sometimes quite a lot. Take the small town of Buellton, California, just north of Santa Barbara. If you blink, you'll miss the exit on U.S. Highway 101. In a small subdivision here of ranch-style homes and trailers, you'll find the compound of the almost famous Mendenhall Museum. It's a fascinating collection of vintage gas pumps, road signs, and license plates from the golden age of road travel. The Mendenhall Museum has a few advantages over other attractions. It's largely outdoors, so you don't have to worry as much about social distancing. It's a convenient road stop on your way up the California coast, but mostly it fits the bill for anyone looking for an unusual tourist attraction. It doesn't get much stranger than a museum for gas pumps. On the other hand, there's lots to see outdoors this summer, and we'll try to cover some of that today. We'll go to Minnesota, to Comfrey, Minnesota, and there you can admire 7,000-year-old sacred Native American rock carvings. There are more than 5,000 life stories in the Jeffers petroglyphs, with images of humans and animals such as bison, turtles, elk, and thunderbirds. It's the site of one of the oldest continuously used sacred sites in the world. The petroglyphs are about 2.5 hours southwest of Minneapolis by car. Not far at all. You can do it in a day. If you're in New England, on the other hand, check out Brattleboro's Words Trail. This is a narrated tour featuring the literary celebrities associated with Brattleboro, Vermont. Who? Well, Saul Bellow, Harper Lee, and Frederick Douglass. You can find the trail online and download a free app that will guide you on the tour. On the other hand, if you're more of an art person, you can check out the hundreds of street art murals in Richmond, Virginia. For an extra strange experience, explore Mount Trashmore in nearby Virginia Beach. It's a city park created by compacting layers of solid waste and clean soil. Now, if you don't mind venturing indoors, you can stop by the Jefferson Barracks Telephone Museum near St. Louis. It's a small history museum in a historic building. And if your kids have never seen a landline phone, which is entirely possible, this is the place to take them. You'll find everything from a 1920s operator switchboard to phone memorabilia from the 1880s up to the present time. Why, there's even a telephone pole with the equipment used to climb it. You can enjoy the surrounding 426-acre Jefferson Barracks Park, which has lots of wildlife, many walk trails, and a lot of history. And while you're in that part of the country, why not hop over to Tennessee, Johnson City, Tennessee. It's about 2 hours' drive northeast of Knoxville. You can visit the Gray Fossil Site. This is a museum and outdoor Pliocene-era fossil dig site, which dates back about 5 million years. What makes this site so cool is that the dig site, lab, and museum are all at one location, and it's in the middle of town. Anyone can sign up to be a paleontologist for a day, and they can participate in the museum's dig days. At the moment, the museum is digging up a massive mastodon with 13-foot tusks. Now, there's a tusk. Other non-traditional tourist attractions may also be stretched to the limit this summer. For example, the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota. It's in the middle of nowhere. You may have heard the expression, you can't get there from here. That sometimes applies to Mitchell, depending upon where you're located. It's an hour's drive from Sioux Falls in the eastern part of the state. And the owners cover the building, which is made in thousands of bushels of corn, grains, and native grasses. You got to see this to believe it. It's well worth the trip to nowhere to see the Corn Palace. Not only is the Corn Palace unusual but now it's also popular. The Corn Palace is world famous and attracts more than 500,000 visitors a year. Maybe the takeaway from the unusual tourist attractions that travelers will visit this summer is that if enough people come, they won't be so unusual. So experience them now, before they end up in every guidebook. Just how do you discover an unusual tourist attraction? Well, there are at least three things you can do. You can get off the beaten path. Don't be afraid to take the back roads. Be open to discovery. Many, if not most, of these weird and wonderful places are nowhere near an interstate highway. And then ask a local person. In an age when everyone consults their smartphone or does an internet search, the best way to find what you want may be to put away that device. Think about it. The reason something is obscure is that no one knows about it. So you probably aren't going to find about it online. And lastly, be open to anything. It's one thing to be tired of museums, theme parks, and beaches, but it's another to open yourself to a phone museum, a fossil site, or a food hall. If you keep an open mind and are ready to explore, you'll discover new places and make new memories this summer. The summer of your unusual discoveries. Our second item today is an investigation of how the climate has shaped our bodies. Humans have fluctuated in size significantly over the past million years because of changes in the climate. A new study has confirmed this, and researchers took measurements from more than 300 fossils from the Homo genus, the family to which modern-day humans, Homo sapiens, belong. They then calculated the regional climate experienced by each of these hominins when they were alive. And the climate, and in particular temperature, was found to be the main driver of changes in body size. In cold, harsh climates, body size was larger, while warmer climates were linked to smaller bodies. According to the study, larger bodies can buffer individuals from cold temperatures. But if you look around the world, this relationship between climate and body mass can be seen in the animal kingdom. Polar bears in the Arctic, for example, weigh more than brown bears in warmer climates. And it applies broadly to modern humans. The average Dutchman is 6 feet tall, whereas the average person in India is 5'5". The researchers found no association between temperature and brain size. Because humans evolve over many generations, it will take thousands of years for our bodies to to change in response to global warming on its current course. Even then, the changes will be small, maybe about 2 pounds per 3.6 degrees Celsius of warming. We're not going to shrink tomorrow. We don't need to worry about that. The third item for us today, I've entitled Wobble Floods, or flood threats that occur as a result of moon wobble. Changes in the moon's orbit could lead to record flooding on Earth, according to a new study by NASA and the University of Hawaii. The so-called wobble in the moon's orbit is entirely natural and plays out over an almost 19-year cycle. Half of that cycle creates lower high tides and higher low tides. The other causes higher high tides and lower low tides. Normally, these wobbles aren't an issue, but with sea levels rising because of climate change, researchers believe that the next wave of high tide floods will be more intense and more frequent. The administration reported 600 of these floods in the U.S. during 2019. During the next wobble in the mid-2030s, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration expects 3 to 4 times that number. The entire coastline of the U.S. mainland, along with Hawaii and Guam, should be affected. And during certain alignments of the moon, Earth, and sun, floods could happen every day. Low-lying areas near sea level are increasingly at risk and suffering due to the increased flooding will only get worse. Sorry, the news is not better than that today. A mystery has been solved. Astronomers say they've solved the mystery of why the star Betelgeuse, a bright star in the Orion constellation, abruptly dimmed in late 2019 and early 2020. At the time, there was speculation that the red supergiant star, which is 15 to 20 times more massive than the sun, was about to explode in a supernova. This would have been quite a light show, the last supernova in our galaxy that could be observed from Earth occurred back in 1604. Cast your minds back, you might remember that one. It was as bright as Venus in the sky. But a new study suggests the dimming was merely caused by an ejection of gas. A Betelgeuse burp, so-called. Detailed images of the star that were taken with telescope in Chile indicate the dimming was the result of two linked phenomena. A cool spot on the star's surface made the star appear less bright, and this cool spot was causing gas that had previously been ejected by the star to condense into dust, making things even dimmer. But when the dust eventually settled, the star returned to its normal brightness, and everything seems back to normal for the time being. We're going to end today's show with a brief review of points of progress around the world. In the United States, Maine has become the fourth state to abolish civil asset forfeiture, ending what rights groups call a civil liberties nightmare. Originally meant to combat drug trafficking, civil asset forfeiture allows law enforcement to seize private property believed to be connected to a crime without necessarily charging the owner. Critics say the practice disproportionately affects poor communities, violates due process by burdening property owners with proving their innocence, and in some states creates monetary incentives for over-policing and petty seizures. And then in Europe, a point of progress. Kellogg Company, Kellogg Europe, is updating its cereal boxes to be accessible for blind and partially sighted shoppers. Next year, the new boxes will feature colorful, high-contrast blocks that resemble a QR code. But unlike the standard QR codes, this patch can be detected from several feet away by a smartphone. And then as we go to China, some progress. China has announced that it no longer considers the giant pandas endangered. Protected legally since 1958, giant pandas live in a small portion of China's upper Yangtze River basin and are famously difficult to breed. Well, the International Union for Conservation of Nature reclassified them from extinct to vulnerable in 2016, after wild populations rose by 17% to over 1,800, and this in less than a decade. And then in Iraq, the last of our points of progress today, local organizations are being helped to preserve Iraq's cultural heritage, which it sees as central to the country's post-conflict recovery. Civil war and international isolation have made it difficult for Iraqi academics and cultural heritage professionals to secure funding, retain students, and conduct research. Meanwhile, the politicization of the country's heritage has stymied government conservation efforts, and what little foreign funding actually reaches Iraq is usually focused on the Judeo-Christian traditions and the pre-Islamic society, failing to engage with local stakeholders. But now, local organizations are receiving help, and this from the Nahrain Network, which is taking steps to support Iraqi-led projects that focus on the needs of local communities. And now it looks like we're getting very close to the end of today's program. I wanted to tell you about a few things that you'll hear in the near future as we talk about bacteria which can be used to detect landmines research is being done with that in Israel. We'll talk about COVID-19 and its effect on the brain. And then, particularly important, is this the story about the migration of police chiefs in the United States from one part of the country to the other. And the reason for this, what they find, and what tends to result. But now, I'm going with my friend Willie Nelson as we go down the road again, looking for items to put into our bag, which is entitled A Little of This, A Little of That. You all take care of yourself, be kind to others, be sure that you get vaccinated, please. That will protect all of us. And turn into 101.5 on your FM dial, because we want you to come back to this station and hear some more about A Little of This and A Little of That. So for today, it's goodbye. See you soon.